Some of us, we say, give the Lord a shout. We don't do. But shout is a spiritual weapon. Bible said that Jericho had closed all the doors and nobody went in, nobody came out. And the wall was strong. And the people of Israel had to go through Jericho. And God said, "Don't worry. They can use the arms of flesh to lock it. But me, I don't need the arms of flesh. And I don't want you to take any arm of flesh." That shout. That shout. That shout. Some of you today is your shouting that is breaking the barrier of your victory. That shout. That shout it. I say shout it. You are not shouting. You are looking at my face. You are not shouting. Shout. I say shout. Open your mouth. And shout. 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 Say shout. You are breaking the barriers. Hallelujah. Yes. If you want the barrier of your progress to remain, then you can keep quiet and just be a gentleman and still be at the gate. But those who want to go forward, those who want to go forward, those who want to break through, those who want to advance, they are shouting. They are shouting. They are shouting. It's a spiritual weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. We are breaking our barriers. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Father, we want to thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is what you have chosen to break barriers for us. Today we are breaking every barrier of our destiny, of our prosperity, of our advancement, of our growth, of our profitability, of our successes. We are breaking the barrier. If our mothers and fathers and family members died at the age of 30s, 40s, 50s, we are going to 80s. We are breaking the barrier by the shout of praise. Yes. Anything that is a limitation towards your advancement into your destiny God has for you, by the shout of your mouth, you are breaking every barrier. You are breaking every barrier. You are breaking every barrier. The one with the loudest of shout is the one who will be first to receive a miracle. You will receive a miracle. Receive divine intervention. Receive it. 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 Divine intervention. Receive. Receive. Divine. 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 It's divine. Divine intervention. Receive it. 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 Divine intervention. Receive it. As you shout. Receive it. 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 Yes. Yes. Now watch. Take it. Take it. It's yours. Receive it. Receive it. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Receive. Divine. Intervention. Yes. 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 Oh, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. Father, we thank you that your presence is already here to touch lives, to transform destinies. Walk in our midst, Lord. Touch everybody. Touch everybody. Touch everybody. And break your people through. Even if they have shouted, let every barrier, every wall, and every door break and set your people free. Those who don't have jobs, they are going to have more jobs. Those who don't have children, they are going to have more children. Those who don't have salvation are going to receive salvation. Anything that has become a stumbling block to the advancement of your people, today you have set us free by the power of shouts. Amen. We thank and bless you. We worship you that you do not lie. There is nothing that is impossible for you to do. If there is anything that is impossible, it doesn't exist with you. It does not exist with you. Jericho people thought that nobody can enter. Before they knew, the whole thing was ground and the whole city had been taken over. So may it be for your people. For you, there is nothing called impossible. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us once again and touch our lives in Jesus' name. And all the saints can say amen for that. Clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, the neighbor, you are welcome to church. Say, you are welcome to a wonderful family of God. Say, I welcome to this wonderful family of God. It's a wonderful family of God. Say amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for everything that has happened here, from the opening prayer to the worship, to the praises, to the powerful music that we have heard. They are all part of the service, with dancing stars, everything. Testimonies are all divinely calculated to help you to know that God is here and is doing wonders. So expect your miracle. Yo. Expect your own miracle. You also come here and give testimony to the glory of God. Amen. The last testimony I also want to share. Amen. You know, I went for a funeral over last weekend. And then on the Monday morning, there was a family devotion. So I just came down, they were doing down, and then joined them. And as we were, a service was going on, there was a woman who had come from the Volta region for the funeral, where my brother used to be. And he was very asthmatic. So the attack came. And so while the service was going on, she started panting. And she rushed to go for her inhaler. So as he was coming, I ran to her and said, what's the problem? So she can't breathe. She can't breathe. She couldn't breathe. So what's the problem? So she's an asthmatic patient. And on a Sunday after the funeral, she wanted to leave to Volta. But I think along the way, the attack came, so she returned. So he was waiting for Monday morning to go. So Monday morning at dawn is where we had a family devotion. So by the grace of God, I just lay my hand upon her and pray for her. And then anointing struck her down. And then when she came out, the spirit of asthma has left her completely. Wow. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I said to her that you didn't come for funeral. You came to meet Christ to deliver you from that affliction. So she came from Volta region for a funeral in Kumawu, only for her to live with no more asthma. She's completely healed. She returned here. It's time for you to receive your miracle. Receive your touch. Anything that is disturbing your life, that want to shorten your days, I cast the demon out of your life in the name of Jesus. Jesus is here to cast the demon out. Bible said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Anything that is in you that is not of God, reject it. I say, reject it. Tell yourself, I reject you. Say, you are not of God. You cannot shorten my days. I'm supposed to live a full life of Christ. For Jesus came to give me life and give me abundance of life. Anything I want to shorten my days, I cast you out of my life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. God is still in the business of miracles. Say amen. Listen, you have to live your life by faith. That's one of the things we are learning. We are going to teach you. A Christian lives by certain principles. In Mark chapter number 4 verse 25. Hallelujah. Mark this scripture very well. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken, even that which he has. Oh, is that how life is? Can we all say together, 1, 2, Mark chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 25. Welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Ochadie and family. God bless you. Hallelujah. Please, Mark chapter 4. We are saying together, 1, 2, say, Mark chapter 4, verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken, even that he has. Tell another. Why is life like that? It's not fair that the one who has, they will give him more, but the one who doesn't have, the little he has, it will be taken from him. Are you here of God? This is what God sent me to speak to you about. Are you here? So we are starting a new series from today. This is a new series the Lord has inspired me to teach you. And the book is here, written by our prophet. Do you love it? Do you love it? Tell your neighbor, in this church, we read books. We read books. This church, we read books, oh, because Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says what? Close your eyes and say, blessed is he that readeth. And standing one or king kind. And it's a one king kind. Tell me, but if you don't read, I won't be your friend. Maybe I read books. I read. Blessed is he that readeth. So be a church member who reads. Rich K, do you understand? Read. Jesus Christ will always ask the first question. When the Pharisees come to him, the first question you ask is, have you not read it? You know, some people, they criticize for nothing. They criticize out of ignorance. I can't say because I'm not going to be a boy for home. I said, I don't know what for what kind. Have you read it? Hey, that's the last time Jesus Christ. He was a reader. Jesus was a reader. May you be a reader. Say amen. Now, this is one of the most powerful books that have been written by our prophet. And everybody who is a member of this church must know this book. And everything in the book must be inside you. Say amen. Because you see, people don't just prosper. There's a reason why people prosper. If only you know the reason why people prosper and you follow the same principle they followed, you also prosper. Hallelujah. And it's my duty as your pastor to feed you with the knowledge and understanding that will make you a prosperous person in life. I don't mind which family you came from, but my duty is to transform you by the anointing of the Lord upon my life. You are going to be transformed to become one of the richest people in this world, one of the most successful people in this family, Your family, you will be the best from your family. As long as you are part of this wonderful family. Say amen. You see, that is the secret of this church I'm giving you. We follow this kind of teachings. And that is what has made us a great church. Because our Father has lived by this revelation. He has taught us. And we have applied it all over the world. And we are prospering. So when people say that, see this church, they are too rich. I don't want to join this church. I want to tell everybody who is here that we came here poor. When we came to join the church, we were very poor. It is the teachings we have received that has transformed us that today we have become prosperous. So if you are the first, today, if today is the first time of coming here, I want you to know that you are far better than when I joined the church. But thank God that when I open my ears to hear the word, it has made me better. That means that your future is brighter than my future. Receive the blessings that come from this teaching. Say amen. If only you know. Because see, it doesn't matter whether you want to take SS or you want to prepare, you want to do. Once you enter medical school, we all come out as what? Doctors. Because what you are learning is what I'm learning. I can become what you want to become. But you see, when somebody is in a certain class and you are also doing something which is irrelevant, that's where there's a marked difference. And so in this church, one of the pillars and foundational doctrines we study is the mystery of this scripture. How come that he that hath will have more? But he does not have, even the little he has will be taken away from him. Do you want to join the people who we can take from you, or you want to join the people who will be the people that they will give you more? You shall receive more. I say you shall receive more. So this is a word of wisdom, which the world does not, will never teach you this. Because in the world system, it's supposed to, the poor, the rich must help the poor. That is what we have in the political system. We have people, there's a political system called social democrats. Social democrats. Social democrats says that the country belongs to all, but so we must use the resources of the country to help the poor people so that the poor people can become rich. Social democrats. And there is another side of the political divide who say that no, the rich are rich already, so help the rich to become richer so that they themselves employ the poor. You understand? So that is the two philosophies of politics. And in this country, we have two political parties who operate under the same. One is this, one is this. I won't teach you what it is so that you come to that. I'm not here for politics, but I want to explain to you how it is. If you go to America, the same principles there. Because they feel that the rich people are few. So let us use the national resources and help the poor to become rich. But when they come to power, they come and enrich themselves and join the rich. And the poor people who voted for them, they leave themselves poor. Are you understanding that? We are not people. I'm explaining that is how the world system is. But thank God that this is a word of wisdom Jesus Christ gave. So let's go to Matthew chapter 25, where you get the deeper explanation of this sentence. Matthew 25, verse number 14. We are starting from 14, we end at 30, and then we end, and then we close. Next week, we continue the book. Why did Jesus Christ make that reference? As a Christian who follow Christ, listen to these teachings very seriously. It will make a big difference between you of today and you of tomorrow. Say amen. Welcome. We're happy to see you. That is Begrohima, who is a member of this church. Are we not excited that Begrohima is a member of our church? Yes. We appreciate her. We honor her. One of the signs of honor is that when any important person comes in your midst, you have to mention a person's name. They have to learn. It's a sign of honor. You have to acknowledge the presence of somebody special in your midst. Those of you who don't know, when you are talking, your father comes, say, oh, please, the great man of God has entered. So let's welcome the person. Are you learning something? In this church, we teach a lot of things. So. We teach a lot of things. So, Nanahima, you are welcome. We appreciate your presence. Hallelujah. So, listen. Watch. Jesus Christ is speaking. For the kingdom of heaven is as this. The kingdom of heaven is as this. Have you been to heaven before? You know how things are done there. So Jesus Christ is using a story to explain to you how it is in the realm of the heavenly realm, how heaven controls the affairs of our lives here on earth. That if you understand the mysteries of heaven through the teachings of Christ, and you pattern your life according to the teachings, you will experience supernatural blessings for your life. So he said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and then he calleth his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. I am traveling. I have so much, but here are my people who serve me. So I take my treasures, my talents, and I call servant one, take this. Servant two, take this. Servant three, take this. He shares all his resources and he travels. Remember, we are talking about how heaven does things for us on earth. Are you here, home? So he called his servants, delivers unto them his goods. Let's continue. Unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2 talents. To another 1 talent. Every man, say every man. Say every man. Including myself. Say including myself. Every man, he gave every man according to his several abilities. So what God is speaking to you this morning is that as you are sitting there, Janet, God said, I've taken, there is something in me I've given to you. Kokano, there is something in God that he has put into you. Everybody. Everybody who is sitting here, listen carefully. Everybody who is sitting here, there is something of God that is inside you. And it's supposed for you to use it to become a great person. Can I continue by preaching? Are you with me? So as you are sitting down here thinking that, listen. It doesn't matter where you came from. There is something of God that is sitting inside you. Say amen. Say amen. Did you create your beautiful breast? Who put it there? There's a reason for that. Your nose. Is it you who designed it? Something of God is inside you. There's certain talents and giftings are inside you. Hallelujah. But what happened? Watch it. He gave to them and he went away. Now the question is, use your brain. Because I've given you something. Are you here? Go home. He gave to them. He didn't tell them what to use them for. He just gave it to them. And he just left. And he gave you that because he has created you in his image. And he expects you to think like the way he thinks. And to behave like the way he behaves. If only you know who you are, where you are. He just left them. He didn't say that, okay, use your 5 talents and go and do this. No, no, he didn't give instructions. He just gave them the talent and he left. Ask yourself, what has God put in me that is inside me that I'm still don't even know the thing is inside me? That is one of the reason why you have to do what you call meditations. Many of us, we don't sit down and meditate upon the word of God.
Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord, he meditates upon it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. You have not sat down to think about what is your life meant for. Dear, what did you come on earth for? Today, as you wake up, you have strength. What is it for? Is it just to hang around and eat and drink and fool around and just give birth to children and die? Is that the reason why you are alive? Then I'm sorry for you. Don't know your worth. There is something in you that God expects you to start thinking. And ask yourself, what can I do, Lord? Because there is something you have given me, but I'm not using it. He gave unto everyone according to your several abilities. God knows your ability. He knows what you are capable of doing. But because you have a certain attitude, a certain traits, some of them are positive or some of them are negative, it's not helping you to bring forth what God has deposited in you. That's why God sent me to teach you. So that whatever is inside you must begin to be used. Now watch what happened as he went away. The next verse. Then he that had received 5 talents. Can somebody tell me what to do? What did he do? He went and traded with the gifts that has been given to him. He went to do what? He said, hey, if God has given me ability to sing, I will try and compose my own song because I've been singing people's songs for 9 years. Joyce, I told you, you did that cry, we did that cry, you are kama kama. So be antenasi and rene, and meditate for God to reveal this song. But you see, the one who came up that song today is richer than you. Do you know that? You are not, he is trading per giftings. I hear Shatawale, if you invite Shatawale, you have to pay him about $50,000. Before you come and say, what Jimmy? He's trading with his gifts. You sit down there with your gifts. $50,000, not cedis. That's how they charge. Bible said, a man's gifts maketh room. God has given you something. And what? He said that the man went and traded with it. Nobody told him to trade, though. He said that if I have God in me, I have to use it for my advancement of life. Why should God give me a gift and I will keep it? If I'm not preaching, I would have been debiting and crediting. That would be the end. My life would have been locked up in books. Debit credit. No matter who we are without any impact. By the grace of God, as I've saw that me too, I can be a preacher. I can teach the word of God. I'm trading every day. And the thing I'm doing is advancing my life to go forward. It's time for you to rise up. That any gift of God that is inside you, you will not allow it to kill you and destroy your life. He went and traded. And look at the Bible said that he made them 5 other talents. Wow. When he traded his giftings, he got 100% increase. Won't the person be a rich person? Won't the person be able to buy his own car? Won't he be able to build his own house? Won't you be able to buy a ticket and go to America for holidays and come? Because he has been able to trade with his gifts. The next verse. And likewise, he that had received 2, he gained 2 other more. But unfortunately, verse 18 is where many of you are. Many of you, this is where you are. The Bible said that, but he that had received 1 talent. He We have given you talents. But he used his energy and his time and his resources to go to the ground and go and take the ground. Can you imagine? Borrow a wheelbarrow, borrow pickers, borrow everything, and just went to dig the ground and put it there. The energy, I mean, you can think of digging the ground. Why don't you dig a ground and plant a seed? But you dig a ground and hide your talents. Is it not painful? And so though you understand why Jesus Christ, you have to take it from the world. Who does it have? So take it from him and give it to the one who can make it better. You can spend 2 hours watching social media, TikTok. Something that somebody has acted foolishly is what you are watching. You can spend that time, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours, so, digging the ground and hiding your talents. That 3 hours, if you have been in the presence of God for 3 hours, if you have submitted yourself to prayer for 3 hours, every day, 3 hours. Do you know how far God will lift you in life? But you see, that's what I'm saying. Many of us, that's the state we are. The thing that God has given to us to draw close to him so that we can draw more from him. You know, we have kept them. Uncle, hey, yeah. It's painful. Very painful, Obo, that we spend time and energy to do something which doesn't add value to your life. Since you started watching Kunku Bajia, you ask yourself, you don't laugh. You ask yourself, what has it added to you to bring you into prosperity? Since you started knowing all the footballers of Manchester United, their names, their salaries, their transfer prices, has it added to your own life? I mean, yeah, so when I see people, Christians, and they can talk football, and I say, hey, you have time to do all this is. I would rather take he that has and read this book for 3 hours and catch some revelation and make progress to my life than to be wasting that time. Wasting. He that had received one talent, he went and dig the earth. Can you imagine? Mame, hey yo, what do I want you to from? Hey, to from? I want to add you to from the county. I want to know where you are. I can't first camera one. Hey, Mrs. You are here. You are welcome. And obey the hospital. Somebody's in the hospital praying that God, if you can save me, I will go and serve you. I will do this. You have free air, energy, strength, beauty, and you are wasting it. And you want God to just after bless you with the beauty that you are. God should come from heaven also and give you money into your pocket. May should God make you beautiful girl for only for God to come back and say after that you waste it. Then when you meet God, say, God, I need money. You are praying to God to give you money. When they will give you a talent. He went. Don't rush me. I like the 18. He went. Can you imagine? He went and dig the earth. You know that one of the difficulties in life is to dig the ground. But this is when somebody has bad attitude. Who's wasting the time? That's how life is. That's how many people are. What do you concern? Gossip. You have talked about people, and to that time that you are spending to talk about people, if you have thought about yourself, would have added some value to your life? Well, you can see people, Christians can gossip. Hey, gossip. 2 hours gossiping. 3 hours gossiping. You can go to saloon and go and do your hair for 4 hours. 4 hours. You are doing Korean hair or Japanese hair or Brazilian hair. But you can't spend even 30 minutes to pray. So when somebody has prayed for 30 minutes and he has got a revelation and is advancing in life, and say, hey, what they call, okay, you are digging the earth and hiding your talents. Won't you be poor? You'll be poor. Hallelujah. Are you here, God? He hid his Lord's money. Do you know why he did that? See the next verse. The Bible said that after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and he reckoneth with them. Listen, there is a day God will call you to account for anything he has given to you. God is an accountant too. Hey, he's a chartered accountant. Like myself. You account for every person. You know, my work is to go out to audit companies. That's my profession. Why? Because when a shareholder, that is the owner of a company, forms a company, he appoints directors and managers. So every year, my duty is to go representing the owners of the company to check the records, how they have spent the money that has come into their hands. If I go and find that the manager, you have chopped the money of the owners, I write a long, long report and take you to shareholders meeting, called annual general meeting, and go and report to you that the manager will do second, Mr. Ramon Sakino. Yes. Are you here, God? Bible says, after a long time, see, one of the things about God is that he always gives you time. That is why, see, when you are sinning, God doesn't mind you. Once he has given you a talent, you can use the talent to sin. He just watch you. But don't think that God has forgotten about you. Bible says, after a long time, the Lord of the servants came. And he said, now let's sit down and account. The word reckon with is account. In 2 Corinthians 2, 5, verse 10, write it down. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. 2, 5 times 2 is 10. 2 Corinthians 5. Bible said that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. Beautiful girl, the body that God gave to you, the nice breast, the nice shape, come and account for what you use it to do. Come and account for it. How many men held your buttocks? Come and account for it. How many beds did you sleep on? The records are, every day you sleep on, the angels will mark you. Debiting your accounts. Credit is not that you... When you do good, that's credit. When you do wicked, it's debit. Everyone will give account according to that which he has done. Whether it be good or... Write this scripture down. That's why it was a Nigerian Jew who wrote this in English. Whether it be good or bad. So, Bible says, after a long time, the master came and said, let's do account. It should never be that when God calls you for account, you have nothing to show. So, oh, Lord, I thought that was when I get to 50, then I can change. I see the reckoning time can come any day, any time. So be careful that you don't misuse the little God has given to you. Are you here? Go home. Sister, the breast is not for you. It is God who gave it to you. So when a man say, I like it, say that it's for the service of God. It must be used to praise him, not to collect money from men. You understand? So after he came to give account, Bible said that, and the first one came and said, you gave me five, I've added five more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the job of your servant, master. The second one came and said, you gave me two, I've added two more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. That have been faithful. The next one, quickly, who is with me? I'm speaking and somebody's not helping me. Run. But the one who has received one, when he came, look at his mindset. John 2. He also that had received two talents came. Okay, 23. And he said, please watch carefully. The reading I'm reading, I'm preaching to you. His Lord said unto, well done. 24. 24. Then he which had received one talent came. He came. And what was in his heart? You see, Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What was in his heart? When he was going to give account, he said to his master, you are a very bad man. Can you imagine that? What has he done to you? Somebody who has given you talent. He has given you time. He has given you a place to live. He has given you everything. Then he said, let's do account of the first that the master, he said to them, I know that thou art a hard man. And then, thou art hard man, reaping where thou art not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Hey, 25, watch. And I was afraid, so I went and hid thy talent. Lo, there has what is thine. Oh. You see, that is what we are about to teach you. Many of you have bad behavior, bad attitude. So even when somebody wants to do you good, because of your bad attitude, you will think negative towards the same person who wants to be a blessing to you. That is why your life cannot advance. It's an evil spirit, but you don't even know that it's an evil spirit. You see, as the man was sitting, his police were working, generating more income. He was sitting down thinking bad about the man. It is that attitude that made him say, I'm not a fool to work for you. I'm not a fool. Somebody has employed you in his company. You were struggling to get a job. He has employed you. And then the same person who employed you, you treat the person that he's a very hard person. But if he's not hard, would he have had money to set up that business? Which you are not enjoying. Let me tell you, anybody who is an employer is a hard person. You better know that every employer is a hard person. Because he will not allow his money to be wasted. He's paying you every month. Where should he get the money from? If he doesn't control him, you will mess up his business. And many Christians are messing people's business. Christians, not unbelievers. You employ a Christian, he will steal from you. He will cheat you. And so if you are not a hard leader, your business will collapse. If you are not a hard pastor, your church will collapse. Anybody who is a good leader, who is a successful person, is a very hard person. So you better learn that to be rich and prosperous, you must be very hard. Bible said that a hard man knows how to keep his money. Sometimes even when your wife asks you for certain things, it's not all the money we give to our wives. Because you are building. Tell her that I'm building. This is how much we can spend. We have to eat within this money. Because we cannot be buying cement at the same time, eating jollof, what do you call, chicken every day, KFC every day. Every day KFC. No! Cook, unless contour relentless is from a community. Because there should be extra money for something else. That is leadership. That is leadership. Hallelujah. That is a successful person. If you are not hard, you cannot do well. That is what those who are always weak and you are always crying, you are staying. Somebody said, my minute, what hard you are better. Because some of you wake up in the morning, even sweeping the house, cry, you don't sweep. You don't sweep the house where you are living. You don't cook. You don't wash anything. And you think that the person should go and work and make money and bring it to you and you eat and then you don't contribute anything to the house. You are a wicked servant. You are a slothful servant. You are a poor person. You shall remain a poor person because nobody will employ you. Even the little work you are doing, they will sack you because it's a bad behavior. They will sack you from it. They will sack you. He said that I was afraid, and so I went and hid that talent in the earth. I was afraid. Fear is one of the reasons why many people become poor. Fear. Because business, to succeed in business, you have to fail. Yes, you have to learn how to fail. But when you fail, you don't give up. You rise up again. You rise up again. He said, my enemy, don't be happy when I fall down. Because if I fall down 7 times, I shall rise up again. I know my Redeemer. He will help me to advance. So don't be afraid of life. Hallelujah. I was telling some of the young men in first service that some of you, the reason why you are still not married because you are afraid to propose to a beautiful lady who is sitting by you. You are afraid. She's a very nice lady. But you see, you are afraid that, hey, but before you know, if you can get boldness and say, sister, be here. And you just start giving a rap. You say, all the fear is gone. And Jesus is in front of you, helping you to solve the problem. Before you know, the man is a woman is your wife. But you see, you are not married because you are afraid. It's not true. I'm a boy. So what you are saying? You're a nice guy like you. Nice like I do, and this nice girl. But who can say, I know you're my show. But today, may you receive the strength and the boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. I was afraid. Listen, some of you must begin to become a missionary. Don't be afraid where God will send you. Out of Ghana, just go. Don't be afraid. You will going to become a great person. We are training. By 3 o'clock, we are starting classes for shepherds. Join. I'm training you to raise you to become an international star. God will make you a great person. You will prosper. You become a great person. He said, I was afraid, so I hate the talent. That's the reason why many of you, inside you, your talents are still there. Because you are afraid. Say, me mama did not say, mama, one scripture. Hey, so from Pacham, 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 so from Pacham, Pacham, Pacham. So, Baba Jira Pama, one scripture. Meanwhile, I was saying that you are a prophetess. Some of you are looking at my face, you are a prophetess. But you see, for you to stand here and speak, Ube shake it from her. But today, God is taking the spirit of fear. Because when you allow fear to control you, it will force you to hide your talents. Some of you can sing very powerfully. But you are afraid that when you start, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. We will laugh at you. So you are. Allow yourself to be laughed at. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. One day you said all the fear is gone. Boldly, you shall stand before the crowd. Receive the grace of strength and hope and boldness. I hate my talents. Today, every talent in you must come alive. I want to see Mrs. Ochad, every gift in you must be known in this church. We must know your giftings and your talents. Mrs. Ochad, the child that has a talent in you, we must know. Tell the person about you that there's a talent in you, we must know. We must know. We must know in this church. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Say, you are hiding your talent too much. That is why you are poor. That is why you are poor. Because you are hiding your talent. Some of you can sing. Some of you can dance. You can dance. Young man, you can dance. But you see, as you are sitting there, we don't know your talents. Huh? The national missionary. My friend is saying. Huh? Bafo international missionary. But you see, you are sitting down here thinking you are afraid. See the boy. May the Lord help you to come out with your gifts. So he said that, I hate that talent. Now, the painful said that, take your what is belong to you. Take. And listen to what the master said to him. And the master said unto him, you are a very wicked person. Tell him about, you are a very wicked person. Yeah? Said, the gift in you, power we haven't seen in this church. Are you not a wicked person? Eh? Yvon, over can't scan hours of him. No. Are you not wicked to God? That God has given you a gift. And then you say, I won't use it for God. You are a wicked person. Listen to me. Anytime you fail to use what God has given to you, God called you a wicked person. Do you know what? Because what you don't know is that the little you do can heal somebody's problem. You may think that, if I dance, what else? The dancing style, the thing they do here, it heals a lot of people. Some people are healed not because of my preaching, but because of their dancing. Oh, yes. They are dancing. It takes a certain burden out of some people. As people are watching them dancing, jump. Even as I'm doing, are you not laughing? Have you seen you are laughing? Yes. It has taken some burden out of your spirit. And now you are sitting down here, you don't contribute anything. You are a very wicked person. God see you as a very wicked person. That you can't, what I have given you, you don't want to use for anybody to benefit. Only you. Now, one day, one of my church members, he was doing adoring. Anytime he come to church, he sit down quietly in the corner as if he doesn't know anything that's called dancing. Then one day, he had a baby. He called me for baby dedication, adoring. At the adoring, when I finished my program and they put the sound on, hey, come and see this, my church member. Hey! And this worldly soul, he danced. So as he was dancing, I was watching him. I said, hey, so you can dance like that. And when you come to church, you pretend as if you don't know what is called dancing. When we are praising God, you do your hand like that. So God gave you this talent to just go and dance for the Satan. You were a very wicked person. Very wicked person. Are you here or go home? Thou wicked and not wicked though, but you are also a lazy person. Lazy. Slothful. Slothful person. Somebody who sleeps. When people are working, you are sleeping. Lazy. That is why you are. You see, poverty, the reason why you are poor is that you are too lazy to work. A lazy person will never be rich. A lazy person doesn't see progress in your life. He said, this work is too hard. Every work is too hard. Can you see me sweating? Even I'm preaching. It's not easy. But I have to do it. Because that is hard work is. You must sweat. And this work is too hard. This woman I'm saying, every day I wash. Yes, that's why you are relevant there. If you don't wash, you are not relevant in the house. We have to sack you. That's why you are there. Slothful. That know that I reap what I sow not, and I gather what I have. That. Then the next verse says, you should have now invested my money into bank so that at least I can get some small interest. I should have put my money to the exchanges. That is Pastor Enoch, Bank of Ghana. And then at my coming, listen to what God is saying. When anytime I come, I'm expecting you to have added something to what I gave you. That's why when I came to this church, my focus has been how to increase what has been handed over to me. Because otherwise, I'm a very wicked and a bad shepherd. And listen carefully. Anywhere you are working, always think that what you contribute towards the company should be more than your salary. Are you hearing me? Are you here? What you contribute to the company must be more than how much they are paying you. If what they are paying you is more than what you are contributing, you are a wasteful person. They have to sack you. I recommend to your boss to sack you. Because it's costing him maybe 10,000 cedis and he's giving you, you are taking salary of 1,000 cedis, but you contribute only 500 Ghana cedis. It means that he is the one losing. And he didn't employ you to come and take care of him because we're new free baby. You are not a sibling, a brother or a sister. Even a brother or sister, he wants you to benefit from you. But if he's, you can contribute 2,000 and he pays you 1,000, that's a sign that you are worthy to stay in that employment. So if you are working, whether you are employer or you are employee, let this be in your mind that your contribution must be more than how much they pay you. That is what makes you relevant in where you are to be maintained. If your boss make a mistake to pay you more than how much you are contributing, then you are cheating your boss. And I recommend to him that God will open his eyes that you are worth, you're worthless, so he should sack you. He should sack you. I'm praying that your boss should sack you. Because you are not worthy. You are not adding value. But you must add value. Are you here? Go home. I am happy that the little I do add more value than how much the church pays me. Because that's what makes me relevant. Your relevance is the impact you make by your contribution. Not how much you receive from the people. No. Life is not about how much you get. It's about how much you give. You must learn how to give more. Give more. Give more to more people. Impact many people's lives. That is what makes you valuable. That's what makes you important. So if there's any gift in you that can make somebody's life better, use it. Don't think about money. You know, many of you young people who have come, you always, money is the driving force. Life is not about money. Life is about impartation that you make in people's lives. That's why I love my profession. To preach the gospel. To lay my hands on people. To pray for people. To prophesy on people's lives. To see change and transformation. That's more important than at the end of how much am I being paid. No. I don't think about salaries. I think about the anointing to impact people's lives. That as anybody who has opportunity to meet me in life, something of me must change your life. That's what I live my life on. I contribute towards welfare. That's why I say, you gave me 5, I've added 5 more. You gave me 2, I've added 2 more. I contribute towards the advancement of where we are, not to take it from it, not to draw. Don't think about how much you can draw from the company. Think about how much you can add to the company. How much you can add to the church. Since you were born again, how many people have you brought to church? What is your contribution? You are sitting down here every day hearing. You are not adding any value to the church. That's why we are said that we are not divided the church into 4 regionalities. Everybody must contribute something towards your region. Say amen. Tell another person said by you that you are being a Christian. You are hiding your talent too much. Please, you are evangelist. Rise up and go evangelize. You are a prayer warrior. Rise up and start praying. You are a pastor. Start teaching people. Rise up and do something for the Lord. Don't just hide your talent there. Hallelujah. Are you here? Go home. The next verse, we are closing. Quickly, 28. That is, then Jesus said, take therefore the talent from him. The one who said that I won't work for you. Take it from him. And give it to him that has what? 10. Give it to him who has how many? 10. You would have thought that but 1 and 10 is unequal division. Yes, but that is how it works. Because those who are giving 1, they are lazy. They are wicked. They don't want to help. They sit down, that I don't have any talent. Me, Pastor, me, I can't do anything in the church. Pastor, you see me, I don't know what I can do. You can do it. Well, let's come out of this church. When you come out, the way you chat, it means that you are a preacher. You are a preacher. If you can talk with your friend for 30 minutes non-stop, it means that you are a preacher. But you are not using the anointing for preaching to do the work of God, but you are using it to do your friend's discussion. You can talk and rap. There are some young guys that they can, when they rap you, the lady, you open yourself, says, yeah. Means that you are evangelist. Evangelist, find a crowd, a prophet. And I open somebody way you do man, I didn't. But the Lord used you to build the church. Tell your neighbor that from today, I'm going to use my talents. Even if it's one talent, everybody will know in this church who I am in this church. You know, it is those who use their talent that are known. You know why we don't know, the person sitting by doesn't know your name. Well, you are not doing anything in the church. Oh, you haven't thought about that. The fact that nobody knows your name, it means that you are not using your gift. Do you know Messi? Do you know Ronaldo? Do you know Azuma Nelson? Why do you know them? They use their gifts. They have traded their gifts. But you, because you are not traded your gift, that's why nobody knows you. And that is why you remain a poor person forever. Because prosperity is linked to name. What you do is what is determining your prosperity. What you do. What you do. There's something to do for the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, take it and give it. At verse 29, we are closing. For unto everyone that has shall be given. And he that and he shall have what? Abundance. I see you beginning to use what you have. Because see, God doesn't want you only to use what you have, but he's thinking about how you can have abundance of what you have. Abundance. God is thinking about abundance. That's why today our prophet is a great man of God, because the world is looking for his abundance. There's abundance of opportunities for him to preach from every part of the world. It's time for you to rise up from your giftings. Some of you are going to become more than Bishop Dark in the next 20 years time. If you start trading your giftings now, evangelism, prayer. Some of you, prayer, your prayer life. Instead of 3 hours of gossip, dedicated to prayer. Everyday prayer. When you feel like gossiping, just leave there and go and hire someone and just pray. By the time you finish 3 hours of prayer, the Lord has brought a lot of revelations as to what to do with your life. He said, for everyone that hath shall be given, and he that has, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And so the essence of this book is that there are nine things that everybody who want to have and have more should need and have it within you. Hallelujah. Are you here? Can we share it? Okay, I have some few minutes. So turn your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. We share the 9 things and then we close. Next week, I'm going to take you to one after the other. Bible said that, and beside this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love. And brotherly love, charity. Now watch the next line, verse 8. He said that, for if, everybody look at me, if these things are in you, if these things are in you, and they abound in your life, they will make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. Hallelujah. There are some things that when they are inside you, you will prosper and you do well. But if they are not in you, it makes you an unprofitable person, unfruitful person, a poor person. Hallelujah. And what are the 9 things? Number one, the first thing you have to learn is diligence. Diligence. I'm going to take you through next week, one after that, to explain what it's deeply. Diligence is hard work, persistence, unwilling to give up, relentless. That whatever I set my mind to do, I will work it and get it to the results. That's a diligent person. Not the one who tried and said, media. Recently, there's a political leader who said that, Jack, yeah, I'm sitting with the president in Medjay. Sure. You tend to see that in the presidency is that small. Yeah, make call. Yeah, shaking me, cry. Yeah, the obedience of Bobbya major in the near apprentice. My guy, yeah. You can't go. You can't be a successful person in life. In life, Bible said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and it's the violent that take it by force. If you're a lazy person, the people will walk over you like this. A hard worker, diligence. The first one. Number two. You must have faith. Faith. We have to live your life by believing God. That even though my beginning was small, even though I came from a poor family, even though my beginning was nothing, my future dear, I have a greater vision that one day I will sit on this top here. I will sit there. God will help me to get there. I believe that I will be there. See, that's a person of faith. That is why Bible said that with that, God will not even help you. Because God is looking for people who have faith. Yes, today, you have nothing, but you can believe that the next time, you'll be the next millionaire in town. It is those who have those vision that drives them. So in the midst of challenges, they say, no, I haven't reached my goal yet. I'm going for it. Something is ahead of them, driving them. And they are always pursuing that vision. Bible said that what God told Abraham, your children shall be like stars. Even though, Romans chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, going, said that even though he saw that things are not working according to his body and the body of his wife, but he didn't look at his body, he didn't look at the body of his wife, but he just believed God, that the thing he has heard from God, you know, the thing he has heard from God, you know, God is able to do it, and I'm pursuing God until I have my sons. That is faith. That's why he became successful. Faith. Receive the spirit of faith. Without it, you can't go anywhere. Life is difficult. But when you have faith, suddenly things that doesn't bother you. I would say, he considered not, and he staggered not. By strong in faith. May you be strong in your faith. I want to declare to everybody who is sitting down here, watch the next 5 years, the next 10 years, or some of the next 25 years, where you'll be standing. It's because of your faith in the message I'm preaching to you. You shall become such a great person. Even though you came here as a very bad person, society thinks you are, God will change your life like anything. You become a very good person tomorrow. Receive the grace of faith. And with faith, you have to have virtue. Have to have certain behavior. Can't mess up your life. Have to learn how to control your emotions and your feelings. Not everywhere that you see a reaction of your destiny that you are going that direction. No, you have to learn how to control yourself. Vet you. Keep your name. Maintain dignity of your name. Integrity. Control yourself. If you're a young man, you can't know. Don't control your feelings. You can't go far. You can't go far. Hallelujah. Then have knowledge. You have to grow in knowledge by studying, learning, learn new things. You are a carpenter. Since you were taught how to chain and saw, that's all. Things have changed. You have to learn new things of how things are done. Hallelujah. Some of you since typewriter time, you went to a typewriter. A chum da da da. A chum. Have to learn new things. New knowledge has come to the world. You are a hairdresser. New stars have come. New way of doing pedicure and manicure have come. Learn it. That is how to advance you in life. Are you here? That's number what? Number four. Number one is diligence. Number two is faith. Number three is virtue. Number four is what? Knowledge. Number five is what? Temperance. Temperance. Control your emotions. You be an abofu. A small thing, you get angry. Nobody can relate with you. Small thing, you get angry. Small thing, I pack my bag, I'm going. But you lie. You're not lying by heart. In life, you don't lie. You have to learn how to be temperate. Even though what they are doing to you is painful, you have to learn how to be quiet. Especially if you are staying somebody. One of the things you have to learn is how to be temperate. People say, why are you doing it? You cook all the best of food. Then he asks his children to come and you take the best of meat and give the children. And then he puts some small egg on it for you. Eat it as it is. And believe God that one day, God will bless you. Don't get angry and leave the place. That's why you need the spirit of temperance. Some of your company, he said, but this guy, when he came, I was here before he came, but now he suddenly is bigger than me. And also, I'm going, no, don't leave. And just be temperate and work harder. God will turn things around like you. Jacob's uncle cheated him 10 times. But God turned things for his favor. He didn't leave. 14 years, looking for even a wife. Was not easy. But he didn't say that I've left the house. Look at how uncle you have cheated me. His own uncle. No. Are you here? I've gone home. That is why people leave. You see, people leave because they don't have temperance. That is how life is. You have to learn how to be temperate. Are you here? I've gone home. You think we have all not been through difficulties? I used to say, my uncle, I was washing things as high as this. Me. It's like going here. And I own it. Cooking. Mopping the ground. Toilet and bath. Laying the bed that they sleep on. Sweeping goes then. You wake up in the morning, you go to this. I breathe in. And go and sweep. And come out and say, ouch. Me, not somebody. I had to stay there more than 10 years. Why? Because I was building my life from there. If you have not been temperate, I would have run out of the house without learning. There are a lot of things you learn from people which your mother will never teach. Your mother doesn't know, your father doesn't, but God is God of your future. God will use somebody to train you, but you need to suffer under that person's training. Be temperate and learn, because God is using it to prepare you for a greater future. Are you here? Go home. Temperate. And then patience. Yeah, but don't be in a rush. Young boys who have come, you want to do something, now you are a millionaire, you will lose it. Take your time. Prosperity will come in due season. Say amen. Patience. And after patience is what? Godliness. You cannot just rush God and do, as you are a Christian, you are still doing things that is against God. How can the God you want him to bless you is the same person you are sinning against? I always tell couples who are about to marry. I say, you have found a beloved, and please, I beg you, before you bring the marriage to the altar, the thing you have done, stop it. From now until you marry, don't do it. Because you see, I've said that I'm not God to bless you. It's God who you need blessings from. If God is the one who you need blessings, and the same God is the one you are sinning against him, do you think that God will bless? As a pastor, we can shout, may God bless you. May God make you this. It will amount to nothing if God from above doesn't bless you. So you have to learn how to fear God. Ladies, do you understand? Yes, because if you don't have godliness, there's nothing that God can add to you. Because it is God's nature that is expecting from you. You are not married, but you are also not a clean person. You are wepono, every day you are wepono. Now wepono, every day as you are watching pono in your room, how can angel appear to you and show you the way to prosper? When an angel is coming and you are watching pornography, they say, hey, I can't come to this place, so. Maybe God has sent an angel to open the door of blessing for you. Because see, nobody is there. That's the essence of godliness. Godliness, nobody will be there. It's only you. The choice is whether you choose to do good or you choose to do bad. It's your choice. And that is where the angel of God is also standing there watching, where you choose. If you choose this way, I'll help you. You choose not to sleep with any man before you marry, God will now find a right man for you. But as you are sleeping with people's husbands, and sleep with people's husband. No, God said, no problem. Keep doing that. For me to look for one for you, no. You will end up marrying somebody's husband. Maybe because if you have waited on God, God would have given you your portion. I pray that godliness be your part. The next one is brotherly kindness. What is brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness is showing love to somebody who is not even your sibling. You have the means to help. Help that person. Are you here? It's not only your family member that you must spend money on them. If you have a means to help somebody in church or in your community. You see, this guy is a very intelligent person. But his mother and father doesn't have. I want to sponsor you to go to school. That's what called brotherly love. Brotherly kindness. So you are treating the person as if he's your brother. But he's not your brother. Just because you feel that there's something in him that you can use to help. That is what Jonathan became a great person. You see, because when he saw David, he saw that David had more capacity to be a king than himself. So he asked his father, was trying to push him to become a king. He said, no, this my friend is more kingly than me. I would rather use what I have to help him to become a king. But many of us, that's not our attitude. It's like, if I'm not the one there, then it shouldn't be done. If it's not me, then it's his fault. You should be able to identify and say, no, I think you can preach better than me, so you take over and preach. I think you can pray better than me, so you take over. I think you can sing better than me, so you take over. See, that is what is brotherly love. So you see there's a flow, but people are jealous. If it's not me, it shouldn't be that. I mean, why we give it to you, to you spoil the thing? A brotherly kindness says, no, it's for all of us. When the glory comes, it's for all of us. I want to help. In Job chapter 29, one of the things that made Job a great man was his brotherly love. It's not because the Bible says he was one of the richest among all the people in the Asia. Why? Job chapter 29 said, I was all those who are, I think verse 5 for going. You can read the whole chapter. Verse 13. Say, the blessings, the what? The blessings. Say, blessings. Blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me. What does it mean? That means that when somebody was in trouble and he was about to die, I came to help the person. And when I helped the person couldn't give me anything. All that he said, may God bless you. See, that was from a needy person. For a needy person to help a needy person, for the person to say, God bless you. Hey, it make a big difference in your life. It will make a big difference in your life. He's not your brother. He's not your mother. He's not your father. But somebody you helped. He said that the blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused a widow's heart to sing with joy. That's brotherly love. Widow. When nobody wanted to care for a widow, he would organize food and organize money and go and give to widows. And when they receive it, say, Job, God bless you. Can you imagine widows pronouncing blessed upon you? Brotherly kindness. I pay people's school fees. That's what my wife was saying. I pay people's school fees. Who are not my children? They were just church members. I pay rent for people. 1 year rent, I pay. Psh, go and stay in because where you are living is bad. Let it laugh. When the person opened their mouth and said, God bless you. It's more than giving you 100,000 cedis into your pockets. That's how you see the person who had that spirit going higher and higher and higher. I pray that brotherly love will find you. Don't hold on to only yourself. Look around. Some of you have thousands of dresses in your homes you are not using. But somebody sitting by, you see that always David one shirt. You haven't thought of being a blessing to somebody else. Let somebody open his mouth and say, may the Lord bless you. That's more important than anything. Young men who have come, young people, when an elderly person is standing and you are sitting, what to wake up and say, mama, Pacho, say, why? I beg you, please sit down. Why is I stand? What the person will open his mouth and her mouth and say to you is more than if you have given you 1,000 cedis. But, oh yes. The last one, charity, which is pure love that God gave to us. God wants us to show love to as many people that you want to show love. Don't restrict yourself to only yourself, your wife, or your children. Some of us, our life is all about I, myself, and me. If it doesn't bother me, stop it. To spend money, to spend love, to show somebody, to call even somebody to come and eat with you. But in those days, the Bible said that, and all the disciples, they gathered together and they shared bread. Can you imagine that all of us, every Sunday when we come to church, somebody say, to my house, let's go and eat. Many of us will be staying in the church. It's not true. But it will be a point. I will continue to prepare. So we can't see such love. But from today, may the Lord help us. I was, if these things are in you, they will make you to become a fruitful person. May the Lord fill you with this spirit. From today, you are joining the class of those that have, because the good characters and the traits have been found in you. Stand to your feet, everybody. Lift up your hands and pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, fill me with a good spirit of diligence. Diligence. Bring the nine things, the diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, brotherly love, kindness, all these things. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Everybody open your mouth and pray. Say, Lord, I want to be those who have, so that I can have get more and abundance. I don't want to be the person who lose the little I have. For there's a gift of God in me. There's a gift of God. There's a gift of God in me. Help me to use my giftings. My talents you have given to me, Lord. Let me not hide it, Lord. Let me not become a wicked person. I don't want to be a wicked person. I don't want to be a slothful person. I want to use what you have given to me. If it's prayer that I can pray, I'm going to start praying. If it's fasting, I want to fast. I want to fast for the church. If it's evangelism, I want to do it for the Lord. Anything that I can do, Lord, I want to do it. Dancing, singing, praising, worship. Oh, Lord. Even ushering, cleaning is what I can do. Lord, help me to do my best to add value to your kingdom. Lift your hands and pray. We thank and bless you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving, and everybody can say amen. Every head bow, every eye closed. Every head bow, every eye closed. Maybe somebody invited you to church. You are not a Christian. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to give your life to Christ. We want to join the people in this kingdom. Say, the kingdom of heaven is like this. If you don't enter the kingdom, you cannot experience the blessings. You want to give your life, close your eyes, everybody. Lift up your right hand. Say, Pastor, I want to join you into this kingdom. I want to serve the Lord to receive the blessings of this kingdom. Lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please, if your hand is lifted up, come, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay my hands and pray for you. Come. Come to me. Come to me. Wherever you are, come from the crowd. Come. Sister, come. God bless you. Come. Let me pray for you. It's a beautiful kingdom. It's a glorious kingdom. When you don't know it, you may think that we are joking. But it's a wonderful, glorious kingdom. When you join it, you see the goodness of God. God fills you with diligence. God fills you with godliness. God fills you with patience. God fills you with all kind of temperance. So that you, these virtues will be inside you. You were not having it, but as you come to God into this kingdom, He fills you with these virtues so that you begin to have great things in your life. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. For today, I know from today there is a kingdom of heaven where good things are happening to those who are in it. I have been far from this kingdom for many years. But thank you, Lord, that today you have brought me to have a peep into the glorious kingdom you have. And I want to enter into this kingdom. But I know that no one can enter except he is born again. And I know that to be born again is to accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. And so, Jesus, I come to you just as I am. Please have mercy upon me. Forgive me my sins. Wash out them away with your precious blood. Make me holy and pure
in your sight and write my name in your book of life. Say, from today, I will follow you. I will serve you. I will love you in all the days of my life. Thank you for answering my prayer, and thank you for receiving me into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Father, thank you for these precious souls. By grace, you brought them. Let your grace establish them. Let them be grounded in you, and let them bring much fruit to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.